The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Steve42 tweeting with the hashtag What I Learned Today. ISIS claims responsibility for Hot and Ready. Hashtag Pizza Terror. I think you're absolutely right with that. If they haven't claimed responsibility, they should.
Absolutely.
All right, got ND Johnny. ISIS claims responsibility for rap music.
Deadpool tweeted, after listening to Doc Thompson's arguments, I'm convinced ISIS has a driving school for Asian ladies in Houston.
Hey. That's pretty accurate. That's pretty funny. That's right there. Let's go to line 17 now. Tech Rue, how are you, sir? Good morning. What's going on?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. I wanted to make a point about the whole Trump blocking people on Twitter thing.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, the thing is, it's not like he's preventing you from reading his tweets because you can just log out of Twitter and still read his tweets. He's not making it a private or locked account. He's not obligated to read your responses. I mean, I've never sent a letter to a president that I didn't get a just generic form letter back from them. All they're doing is keeping you from posting on the timeline and for other people seeing the responses. And if you're posting profanity to the president that children that are reading his timeline might see. I mean, government censors broadcasting all the time. So why shouldn't he be able to prevent you from unleashing, vile obscenities and stuff on the timeline where other people can see that?
Yeah, I mean, there's like seven fails here to make it the argument that it's blocking someone's free speech. Number one, you don't have a right to be heard. You have a right to speak. Number two, if it's a private company, as I said, it's not a part of this anyways. They can control, in other words, the New York Times doesn't have to make sure you're heard, right? You know what I mean? Or letter. Trump doesn't have to read your stuff. But you're right. Even if you log out, or you can still have your own Twitter account and tweet at him. So if people want to follow, what people are commenting, they could follow you, right? Or read your tweets.
Yeah, as long as you don't cross whatever line caused you to get kicked off to begin with.
Actually, there's another point. You're right, because even within the realm of media, you don't have the right when it comes to both private company and the government to say anything. Right? I mean, the argument's been made even about fire in a theater or whatever. So we recognize there are limitations and... Right. I mean, some of that's like, unfortunately, we have created a world where you can't threaten the president. I know why they have, but I could make the argument that maybe that should be free speech, but we don't recognize that. Right.
And like you said, I mean, Twitter can kick Trump off of Twitter. And what's going to happen? These same people are going to cheer.
This is, and Tegra, I think you're absolutely spot on this, but this, I think, is going to be an argument people have for many, many years to come. It's going to go to the Supreme Court at some point.
It is, and it's going to be the most ridiculous Supreme Court case ever, but, that's what's going to take us there.
It will. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the comments and calls. You could see it being a a First Amendment case that goes before the Supreme Court?
Yeah, no, absolutely. They'll definitely take it there. I think they will absolutely take it there because, and you know what? You pointed out a good point that Obama did the same thing and not a peep. Not a peep.
They didn't say this stuff then.
No.
And he blocked people, whatever. The funny thing about this is actually the discussion we should be having this morning, and this is actually what the government should be working on as opposed to everything else. Not because it's a priority, but because we have been around so long, we don't need new laws. Most new laws we do not need. We just need updates when it comes to technology and stuff. This is an example. So we should balance our budgets. Shouldn't be a question. Bans on trans fats and all of these other things we debate where we go, the government doesn't belong in this. Why are we debating this? We should have solved these problems already. These things should not exist. The failures with the VA should not be something we have to deal with because do your effing job.
Yeah.
And by have a job,
yeah.
I mean the VA, and I also mean presidents and congressmen and senators. Do your job and get it done. So these discussions, think about this. All this chaos and crap we discuss, 90-whatever percent of it should be done. And the question over new technology and how it applies to law is one of the few things. New budgets every year. Oh, we got some changes. We got different wars, little adjustments. Okay, we worked out the budget. Took a month or so. Great, done. And then updates on changes law. We've got all this social media. So we have to ask ourselves how all of these other questions, rulings from Supreme Courts pass, how they apply. Free speech to print a newspaper, right? Freedom of the press and then free speech. How does that apply to a phone call? How does that apply to me on a street corner? How does it apply to television and all these things? Okay, now we've got the internet. How does it apply? Okay, well, you could do this, that, and the other. Oh, now we got social media accounts.
Right.
That's it.
The changing with technology and all that is going to... I mean, I think it's a good point to like have an idea of what or how things change and how we apply it to our laws and the Constitution and the amendments. You know, it's definitely going to be a part of the discussion. I agree with that 100%, you know.
That's the simple part. Mm-hmm. All right, a little bit more on the climate deal, the Paris Climate Agreement, which is not something we should be worried that much about, shouldn't be that much of an issue. It's pretty much done. Trump pulled out. But now the claims are that Trump is actually hurting people. That's the latest. He doesn't care about people and he's hurting people. And then, did you see the apology from Keith Olbermann? Keith Olbermann apologized for multiple things, the Paris Climate Agreement, and then apologized for Trump and the way he responded to the terror attacks. Apologized to people of the world and the people of London and whatever. And I'm paraphrasing.
That seems like an ongoing theme throughout all of the left.
Yeah.
Because of this climate thing. They're like, we have to apologize. You know how this makes us look? I'm sorry.
No, how it makes us. I don't give a flying fig how it makes us look. I'm not concerned when I stand on principle so much with how it makes me look or how it's perceived. I mean, I want it to come across well. I'll do my best. But in the end, if I'm standing on principle, that's my concern. I'll try to explain to you, but it's going to make us look bad in the eyes of the world. If we're doing what's right, sure, go ahead, diplomacy, try to explain it to people, but then you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. If it's better for our country to step away from this, I don't see why.
It's incredible to see the media, though. They're like
incensed.
He did wrong here. He's denying this man caused climate change. He did so much wrong.
How dare he? And it's like the biggest thing, because I was watching.
It's almost like a given. He did wrong. Now let's say how horrible and why and what's the fallout is.
Right. And it's almost like you're stupid for not understanding why we should be this in this. Like what you're an idiot for not. Why don't you see what we see, kind of thing, you know? Why aren't you seeing how important this is? And you're an idiot for not.
And so they start with the debate is over. They start with, of course, there's man-caused climate change, and it's course not to sign in or sign on with the rest of the world and stuff like this. That's that. They don't even start back. Let's talk about the issue. It's just outrageous. We got John Kerry, who had some comments on the Paris climate deal or whatever, which I think is fascinating.
What do you say?
Well, here we go.
Well, my immediate reaction is that it's an extraordinary abdication of American leadership. It is a shameful moment for the United States to have unilaterally walked away from an agreement which did not have one other country requiring us to do something. It was a voluntary program. We designed the program. The president was not truthful with the American people today.
Hold it. It's a voluntary program? Voluntary. Then why do you need the agreement? What's the point of an agreement like this? Why do we make treaties? We make treaties to hold people accountable. Otherwise, you could just go, hey, you guys want to do that? Okay, great. Or you could just do it. The United States could just do it. Why do we need to even deal with the rest of the world? So if you want a treaty like this, you're saying we want other countries to commit to it. And there's got to be some sort of penalty, punishment, something that makes it binding. Otherwise, you could just do it. Why are you concerned with the rest of the world? Oh, because it affects us too. Great. So you want it to be binding on them. And the rest of the world, why do they care? The fact is, it is either binding and he's lying to us, or it's unnecessary from a voluntary versus mandatory standpoint. He's either lying to you about the punishments, or it's unnecessary, in which case, why are you so passionate about this? Now, it's also unnecessary when you look at what the effects would be. The limitations, the lowering of the standards, the amount that we're able to pollute, would drop. Though it drops in such an insignificant way that it would have, what was it, 0.002 like something percent effect over 100 years. It just doesn't matter. So a little bit more from John Kerry.
Something. It was a voluntary program. Voluntary. We designed the program. The president was not truthful with the American people today. And the president who talked about putting America first has now put America last.
Hold it. How did it put America last? Because we didn't sign up with the rest of the world? Again, huge assumption that this is the right deal. What if this is not the right deal? As I don't believe it was a good deal. Therefore, it put America first.
In our eyes, yeah. And not to mention the cost.
Right. So, okay, a little bit more.
With Syria, which is in the midst of a civil war, and Nicaragua, which thought the agreement didn't go far enough. This is an extraordinary moment of fake news, because the economy...
What was fake news about it?
The fact that...
Did Trump say the Paris deal doesn't exist?
No.
What's fake news?
We're backing out because it's not good for us.
What part's fake news? His lack of support? They didn't lie about that.
The fact that it's fake news is fake news.
Right. Fake news. He's using that term. I don't think he knows what it means.
Right.
Okay, a bit more.
Described as not the economy of America. America has been gaining jobs in solar. Solar has gained 17 times the rate of our economy.
So fake news on the job part of it. Gotcha. Okay, and solar has been gaining. More jobs created with solar. So let me get this straight. Your president, the guy you worked for, John Kerry, put more restrictions on fossil fuels and gave huge amounts of money to so-called green energy. And yet the green energy sector is growing faster and creating more jobs than the fossil fuel industry.
That sounds
That's
like...
shocking. Wow, so if you give money to people... They can do things and hire people and start whatever. And if you put unnecessary restrictions on companies, it's going to hurt their ability to hire. Do you see this concept? The argument is that green is good because jobs have been created. The jobs have been created because of the restrictions they put on the non-green and gave money and special attention and grants to the green.
Green is good because jobs are being created because we forced it to happen that way.
He called it fake news to question how good it was for the economy, the green, even though they're the ones who set up that economy. They're the ones who made that possible. That's the fake news. That's not the truth. And where's John Kerry? Sit down here, John. I'll point that out. The truth is you don't want people to know that.
Because it exposes the line of BS.
You want the fake news. A little bit more.
0.6 million jobs in our country in clean energy. Half of them are in states that Donald Trump won. So he is not helping the forgotten American. He is hurting them. Their kids will have worse asthma in the summer. They will have a harder time having economic growth.
Kids are going to have asthma?
In the summer.
In the summer. Greater asthma. Huge failure there. Huge failure there.
Us an environment.
So why did he bring up the forgotten man in states that Trump won?
I don't know, because he's basically insulting them by saying we shut down, you know, your ability to grow the industry and bring jobs.
Right.
In.
That's really what you know.
But at the same time, he's trying to say, like, this is for you people.
So why would he address them?
Because those are the ones that voted for Trump.
In other words, his concern is not the economy.
No.
It's not the kids with the asthma in the summer.
It's the votes.
It's getting your votes in 3.5 years.
Right.
That's what
he's basically saying. Look, the guy who said he was going to work for you guys, he's not.
Right. Again, I'm not concerned with the environment. Why would you bring this up when it comes to the Paris climate deal to tell people, oh, yeah, don't vote for him in 3.5 years? That's what John Kerry is showing. Complete horse crap. He doesn't care about the planet, you, the people. He cares about money and power. It's ego, money and power, same agenda as it ever was. For people, well, and the agenda ultimately goes to make them rich and powerful.
Right.
John Kerry, when people, progressives, don't want to redistribute everything, they want to redistribute most of it with a couple of people still running things. Progressive ideology, all it does is limit your ability to break out of things like the feudal system, a class system. There are still people that run everything. There's just fewer people that run everything, and it limits your ability to become one of those people that are wealthy and do stuff. That's the truth. Right. That's what John Kerry's actually about. And former Secretary of State, if I'm wrong, I will meet you just about anywhere and debate this. Come on, big man. Let's go. This is The Morning Blaze.
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. We'll be right back on the Blaze Radio Network.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
So Macron, the new head of France.
It's Macron.
Macron. By the way, that's how you do the French accent. You start with and then everything you say. That's all you have to do, and you're pretty much there. It's 90% of attitude as well. So Macron invited all scientists to leave America and come to France where there are progressives.
All American scientists.
American scientists. You're progressive, you know, come here.
Obviously, they're all disappointed.
And then he invited all American scientists to come as well. Or just Americans.
Hello, Americans. Emmanuel Macron, the president of France here, with a special message for you. Your president, Orange Fromage, Digito, having pulled out of the Paris Climate Treaty, has committed a grievous mistake. As a result of his climate policies, there is no doubt that America will immediately burst into flames, leaving only a burnt cinder where you once were. But France will be spared because we are sticking it to... sticking with the treaty. So, before the inevitable happens, you can save yourself and your family by fleeing to France. That is right. Flee to France. Do it now. Don't worry about the crushing taxes and social unrest here. Save yourself from certain syndication. And by doing so, you will save a polar bear. We have plenty. and you la cons to flee to France. Please note, a basic knowledge of the French language is a plus, and a knowledge of Farsi is required. Flee to France and bring your wallet. Thank you.
France be a little bit pricey.
Just
none of you know that. A little bit pricey.
Just a little bit. And there's that whole ridiculous amounts of taxation.
I got a little bit of a sad story. A young whale was found dead in the United Kingdom on May 20th, and then its mother was found dead on a nearby beach the same day. Then a third whale washed ashore the next day. So it was three whales right in a row, all part of the same family or group that traveled together. And they think they know what caused it. And I'm not joking here. This is a group of scientists that says we likely know what caused it.
Was it like a disease, or they were starving?
The wind turbines.
The wind turbines?
Yeah. Apparently the wind turbines. No, they create troubles with the sonar that the whales use.
Oh, it confuses them.
Yeah, so it confuses them.
But I thought they were good for the environment.
Well, see, that's the thing. It confuses their sonar, so they're good for the environment, but bad for the environment. And
so it kills whales.
Yes, and birds.
And
gobs of birds. Gobs of them.
At least it's sustainable energy.
You put their ideas next to one another, eventually.
You gotta break, you know, you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs.
Or whales, apparently.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Kevin Kelly is joining us now. He's co-founder of Wired Magazine and author of The Inevitable, Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future, specifically dealing with a lot of AI stuff. Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good morning.
Give me a couple of the technological forces that you're talking about that's going to shape our future.
We're going to have increased cognition in everything that we make, so a little bit of smartness in the tiniest thing, and a lot of smartness in some of the things.
So a lot of the smartness. So even the tiny things, some things that we don't think we even need any smart technology with, some really low-tech things, will there be like smart technology in that?
Yeah, there'll be like, dolls will have a little bit of, they'll talk back to you, or we'll have stuff in our shirts, which will maybe track our body movements to help us sit in a better posture. And there'll be little bits of intelligence in our shoes to kind of track how much we walk.
That makes sense. And then I can imagine, you know, free enterprise, capitalist, it'll just continue to grow like that, where they'll say, I got a better everything, like you said, shirt, right? I'll develop something that's smart.
Right. But then the major thing is the fact that in the back offices of every corporation, they'll be buying AI like electricity. It's just being generated by some big farms, you know, server farms, and they'll send electricity over the cloud, and anybody can purchase it and do some fantastic things with it.
Wow.
Buy AI kind of like you would buy like a consulting or something like that?
No, like electricity. Just, you know, electricity is artificial power. We used to have to do everything with our muscles or animal muscles, and then we have artificial power, which could, you know, when you turn your key in your car, you get 250 horses. Well, that power was distributed over the electrical grid to anybody. It became a commodity, and AIs can become a commodity where it's come over the cloud, and if you want to buy some AI, you just purchase as much as you want, and you can use it that artificial intelligence to do things that we could not do before.
So it's almost like maybe think of it like an app where we download that artificial intelligence for any number of different things or applications, right?
Exactly. So the important thing is this AI stuff, it's not like human intelligence. It thinks differently. And that's actually its benefit, because the reason why you want it in your car, to drive your car, is because it's not driving like you. It's not worrying about whether it left the stove on or whether it should have majored in finance. It's just driving very, very inhuman-like and better than humans drive.
Now, I think most of us recognize there's a lot of benefits to technology, even AI. But there's also some questions, some scary things that may come with it. Should we be worried about that stuff?
I think AI will bring whole new problems that we haven't thought about before.
that's not making me feel good, Gavin.
Yeah, but the solution to those problems is going to be more and better technology. It's not less of it. And so, in fact, I think problems are what drives progress, because each new technology makes new problems, and we have to solve those problems with new and better technologies. And that round and round we go, increasing our choices and options. So, yes, of course, AI will have many new problems, mm-hmm. but the benefits that it brings are going to outweigh the problems.
One of the things we've heard this with every technology throughout the ages, that, well, that's going to cause a lot of disruption and problems, and even jobs, for example. We know AI, we know automated cars, for example, are going to just decimate people's jobs or the jobs out there. And I think truck driver is the number one job in most states, yeah. And shipping. But will we offset those with enough of other type of jobs?
Absolutely. It seems hard for us to imagine, because we kind of a picture in our head of Hollywood and the Terminator. But the same could have been said with the fact that 75% of Americans 150 years ago lived on farms, worked on farms. And if you went back in a time machine and gave all of them pink slips, and the farmers would rightly say, well, what in the world am I going to do? And you would say, you're going to be web designers. You're going to be mortgage brokers. You're going to be tax accountants. You're going to be personal trainers. None of that would make any sense to them. And so the new jobs that are coming, we can make up, but they're going to sound ridiculous right now. But what happens is this new technology births in us new desires for things that we mm-hmm. didn't even know we wanted before.
Interesting. That's a great. The book is The Inevitable. The author, Kevin Kelly, Understanding the 12 Technological Forces That Will Shape Our Future. Kevin, how can people reach you on social media?
I'm Kevin 2 Kelly on Twitter, and the same on Facebook. And I have a blog at kk.org.
Good deal. And we'll tweet out links to it as well. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the information. Fascinating.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Have a great day. The AI stuff, I'm trying not to be, with AI and automation and all this technology, I'm trying not to be the guy who panics like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
The horseless carriage will ruin us. It'll be death. It'll take all those horse jobs away, and the buggy whip manufacturers.
The Pony Express.
People will be run over in the streets. Death, destruction. I mean, these are things that we've thought throughout history, yeah. Probably back, the wheel will kill jobs, right? I'm trying not to be that guy, but there is so much change coming so fast. I know that with automated cars, for example, there's going to be more people to repair automated cars mm-hmm. or whatever, except we'll have automation system repair those cars. Who's going to repair that automation system? You could get to that point.
Yeah.
Okay, so Key made the point that there's going to be jobs that are needed that we can't even imagine that they would exist.
Yeah.
Okay, who would have ever thought social media would be a job? Social media director.
Social media manager. And you know, a typical social media manager makes at least six figures.
Right, especially if you're in a big company.
If you're a big company, right. Which is one of the reasons why I tapped into the market.
You're like, show me where the money is.
Show me the money. But that's one of the things too about AI and anything with technology. We just have to be open-minded. And of course, we have to be cautioned, because we're still human. We make things that are flawed. But we still have to be open-minded when it comes to technology.
And I am really trying, again, not to be that guy. It still seems to me like we have a greater job loss than gain, even with the new technology. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
But
it does.
Maybe it's not like, you know, 99-1 or something, but it still seems like we would have more of a loss than a gain.
Well, also, if you think about it, AI, that is something that I don't understand it. Wouldn't jobs now be more of a, you need more of education and intellectual?
Yeah, absolutely. But here's the thing about the AI. The AI learns. It's not just automation. People would say, hey, when you automate factories, all those factory jobs are going to be gone. Okay, a lot of them are gone. Now you need people to fix the equipment. And now it's computer run, too. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just machines. It's now computers. It's now digital. It's all these things. So you have all those jobs. Okay, great. That makes sense. The difference now, you need people to repair those equipments. With artificial intelligence, it's not just automation. It's automation that learns. That's what it is. It learns and can grow and figure things out. It actually takes the place of human beings, not our strong back, but our mind. And there's what's different. Automation, when building cars, took the place of our backs, our strong, our strength, whatever. It's like a tool, you know. It used to take 100 men to lift this. Now I can do it with a tow motor or whatever it is. This is replacing intellect.
Mm.
And that's the part that I still see a net loss down the road. Now, that may not be horrible.
No.
Maybe we figure it out and say, well, man gets more time to live a better productive life if you're a faith-based person, to worship more, to enjoy. Okay, cool, great, wonderful. But how are we going to feed ourselves? This is the reason Glenn has started talking about a minimum existence wage or whatever you call it. Now, he doesn't necessarily agree with it. He's not saying that. And I'm not somebody as a libertarian conservative that agree with that either. But if people do not have the ability to go out and get jobs, they just don't exist because of technology and automation, how will they feed themselves?
Yeah.
We then have to go back to 200 years ago before this stuff existed. You have to be self-sufficient in your
farmers.
Food. And farmers. That's great. Is there going to be land? Will we go back to sharecroppers? There's nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastics. No. Everything, there's nothing new under the sun. So everything is going to come around again. If that's the case, there's always a slight tweak to it. Is the tweak we will become farmers again because of this stuff, but will it be in a slightly different way?
And it's we'll probably have more time, too, to become farmers.
Right.
Unless climate change kills us all.
I mean, I'm not going to because I'm going to be dead by then. Either the government comes in and shoots me in the head. Probably.
Cubby.
Although he may be tainted because of me. But
so cubbies?
Something like that, yeah. The government comes in and shoots me in the head because I've said something against the government, or I just work myself to death, one of the two. Hey, it's called Relief Factor, and it's an all-natural anti-inflammatory that's helping thousands of Blaze audience members and many Blaze employees alleviate their chronic pain. Think about that. The chronic pain actually going away. Not just being masked where you can still kind of feel it, you know it's there, but feel better about it. It's gone. That's what Relief Factor does. It's all natural. It's not a bunch of chemicals or medicines or something, if you're worried about that. All natural product that just makes the inflammation go away. Inflammation is usually what causes pain. And how do we usually treat it? We treat it with narcotics or something to mask it, make you feel better about it. I've done this story when I was in the hospital on Demerol. I still felt the pain from my appendicitis, but I was okay about it. You're just kind of getting drunk on it on some level. Sometimes it's more direct. Deal with the chronic pain by getting rid of the inflammation. And you could do that with Relief Factor. All you have to do is call Relief Factor at 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. Or go to ReliefFactor.com. You get that 3-week quick start pack for only $19.95, a small price to pay to get rid of that chronic pain. It's called Relief Factor. Check them out today at ReliefFactor.com.
This is
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
That is it, ladies and gentlemen, the end of the morning place. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. We learned from John Kerry that Donald Trump is lying about John Kerry's actual lies.
It's fake news on fake news.
That's exactly it.
It's a fake news orgy.
We learned Chris Cruz cannot pronounce Segway, and neither can Cal.
Hey, I got one. He got one.
Let me just seg into this next one.
I honestly thought that was a real word. You can seg.
You're going to make it hip.
Just keep trying.
I'm going to keep working it.
You know, in today's world, what the hell? None of this matters anyways.
No,
we
we'll
learned you
tomorrow.
Cannot make a sustainable energy omelet without breaking some whales.
And birds.
And a lot of other stuff.
Pieces.
We learned from Sean King that the NFL is only 70% black and therefore not black enough.
Yeah.
We learned your guacamole is about to get much, much more expensive. Cal, spin of the dials, radio style dials, text morning. What, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned when the guys who sponsor terror are getting attacked, something's not right in the world.
Yes.
Or maybe it is.
Maybe it is.
Maybe it's karma.
In the right direction.
I learned that if you need a warning label to cut open an avocado, you're doing it wrong.
You might just be an idiot.
Or you're just stupid, yeah. And apparently the NFL isn't black enough.
No.
What else is black enough?
I think if you put a B in the NFL.
The NBFL?
Yeah, exactly. The National Black Football League. You're heading in the right direction.
We'll go.
Reparations, too.
And that's all I learned today.
All right. At the Blaze, Keith, what, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned that John Kerry recognizes fake news when he sees it. For example, John Kerry may be familiar with the 2004 exit polls.
All right, Kirk, spin of the dials, radio style dials, text morning. What, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned today if anything bad happens, just blame it on ISIS. So if I leave your mic on, sorry, it was ISIS.
You're telling ISIS is sabotaging the show now?
Yes. They are taking over.
Chris Cruz, what, if anything, did the listeners learn today?
You got DM in DM also learning, oh boy, poor Chris and his speech incontinency. Yes. I got it. I got it. And I practiced that damn word over there. Can I practice that word? Damn it.
It's like, I can't properly speechicating.
All right, Brad Wolf also learning, in the future, my shoes will nag me about not getting enough exercise.
That's right. How come you're not out there running, Dave?
Mike brings up a good question. Too much Skynet, the fix is more Skynet.
Right. I'm glad he caught that. He's like, you're right. It's going to create new problems that we'll be able to solve with technology, which will create more new problems, which will solve with new technology that'll create new. Seems pretty stupid, I know.
TMB listener, OU812.
OU812.
I know, I forget that one. Chris Cruz can properly say more words than student today being educated by Common Core.
Again?
What?
Nothing. Please continue.
Oh, okay. Nathan Dunn also tweeting out, is anyone going to change their profile picture to stand with Iran today?
That's a good point.
Oh, wow.
I doubt very much.
Iran was attacked. They're victims, too.
If you're consistent with your stand, you have to stand with Iran this morning.
Although that may be like one of those, like, you're a bomb maker and the bomb blows up in your face. It's like, oh, that's kind of on you.
It's karma.
Let's see.
Like, did anybody change it to stand with Baghdad?
No.
Right? Or stand with Afghanistan?
No.
Okay, because they're not necessarily like the big sponsors of terror like Iran has been.
Okay.
So, but it's still a great point.
World's OK's cop saying, I'm a cop. I'm part of the government. I will block you on Twitter if I want to.
And I'm here to help.
That's police brutality right there.
That's right.
Libertarian tweeting out, can Chris say it? Hemi demi squire.
Guy?
Hemi demi squire, right?
Okay, I can't say that one either.
All right.
I just realized I didn't get the new numbers on procrastination.
Keith gave them to you.
I had a couple things I had to get in, and it just got pushed back. This is okay.
Is
what
right
are you getting upset? We'll just do them tomorrow.
Okay.
What else do we have coming up tomorrow?
Oh, my God. Coming up tomorrow, we got App of the Week. Of course, everybody's looking forward to that. And we're giving away DVDs for the Shaq movie.
Oh, that's right. We'll be giving those away tomorrow, so make sure to tune
in.
That's
Shaquille O'Neal. That's
what is Mike Broomhead coming up on his show?
He's going to give you the latest with the terror attacks in Iran.
And he's featuring a Muslim.
Yeah. He's going to have a Muslim in studio today. Mike Broomhead in for Glenn Beck next. Do we know what he's wearing today?
He's got this whole like black thing going.
Yeah, ooh, I think he's in mourning.
He's in mourning?
Yeah.
Very
upset
to him,
about
Black
this whole
Lives
thing.
Do matter.
Remember the Morning Blaze of today, Chris Cruz production. Six Semper Tyrannus. Good night, Steve Cannon. Wherever you are. Anya, now you go home. Can you pronounce this? What's that?
Inevitable.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.